Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. I'm just trying to catch up on my tweets. I'm in trouble. I've had one of those gifts from Amanda. Are you implying that our show is not a proper show?
When did you say that?
At the beginning.
Oh,
well, no, I didn't say it. No, the reason you don't know is because I didn't say it.
Okay, good.
She misunderstood.
I heard nothing.
I'm just catching up on the gifts.
I'm just saying sorry.
Yeah. And Diamond Circle Weddings have been on as well. Must be feeling better and listening to Business Bunker. We at Diamond Circle Weddings love the extra show. It's the best show. No, don't start that.
Oh, and so it begins.
Yeah. And great listening to Richard of Buckland Media on the Business Bunker show today. We love working with you guys. Cool. There you go. It's all happening. It's all there. Stadler and Waldorf, as you said, they're there too. Lovely listening to Richard from Buckland Media. That's from Tracy Ferguson. Thank you, Tracy.
Well, Tracy's listening live today.
She's listening live, yeah. She normally listens on
really
catch
good.
Up. But yeah.
Yep. And Telcare actually said to us, it's Business Bunker Day. With Vanilla Web and Bird and the Bike supporting Kent businesses, got to be worth a listen. Here's an interesting thing. So you asked me what we did last week. Last week, myself and Lisa Settle went to see Melinda Gates do a book launch up in London. And one of the facts that we were blown away with, now it comes to something, you always need a bit of inspiration. I always go to these things, one, to see who's in the audience, and two, why would people go there and give you their time to listen to their book launch, and three, what has she got to say? And Lisa and I were writing things down very, very quickly because she was saying these amazing things. And he is going to poke the bear with people today. So she said that unpaid labour resonates the most with her. And she looks at unpaid labour as in what you do in your day at work, at home. A woman does 100 more minutes of labour a day in the UK than a man.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yes, you can close that mouth. A woman.
Well, of course, yeah, you do the ironing.
A woman does 100 more minutes of labour a day in the UK. In America, it's 70 minutes
a
day.
My wife will say she does 100 hours, definitely.
Exactly. No, minutes.
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 Well, she'll say 100
hours. See, here's the thing. Lisa then decides to do the reckoning up, and you could do a PhD in a lifetime just with unpaid labour.
Oh, for sure.
Now, Melinda Gates reckons that she does the washing up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll believe you. Okay,
there you go.
Melindy. Yeah.
Do you believe that you're doing 100 more minutes a day?
I've no comment to make on that. I've got a tweet to read here, though, from Tech Expo.
Oh, nicely done.
Yeah. Great listening to Richard of Buckland Media on the Business Bunker Show today with Vanilla Web. We love working with you guys. Not only do they make fabulous products, their customer service is fantastic. We're proud to have them as sponsors for the Tech Expo in September.
Yeah, there lovely guys. Thank
you. Cool. Well, you're getting lots of feedback on there, Richard. You can look through at your leisure later. They've all tagged you in it. So
fantastic.
You can see that.
It's quite a nice conduit, but you won't get away from it now. They will all come flying in.
Yeah, they will.
Okay,
they will.
Just thought I'd poke the bear today a little bit.
Thank you.
Did you want to mastermind about it?
Yeah, you can
no,
do.
No, I'm joking.
No, you can
no,
do.
I'm joking.
You can,
no.
No, you can do.
I'm busy doing the ironing over here.
I'm not going to get away with that now, am I? Anyway, I've got a... Can you do me pants, please?
My nan used to do pants and socks and tea towels.
Oh, unbelievable.
What is that all about?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Nobody irons pants.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
do. She said they always feel better. And she used to put my granddad's socks inside out so that he literally only had to put them over his toes and then pull them up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you used to, mum and dad used to do that.
Yeah, I use that method for putting on duvets, on duvet covers on duvets, the inside-out method. Yeah. Ironing your pants, eh? You have to take them off to get them ironed, then, do you?
Depends, I suppose.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to tell you about this. It's an event that's coming up soon, and it's another one of those government-induced bits of nonsense. Not that I'm going to be controversial here. But Oasis, the lovely folks from Operational Accounting Systems, known as Oasis, are introducing a free reverse VAT crunch time brunch. For those that don't know, the government have introduced a thing called reverse VAT. It primarily affects people that work in construction and on CIS cards. It's a complete nightmare, and it's a stupid thing to do, but it's the government. It's quite complex, so just this is my own take on it. Basically, if you're a subcontractor on a building site, the government are worried that you're living off the VAT, and they don't like that. So what they're going to do is, when you bill a subcontractor, you have to show the VAT on the invoice but not collect the money.
Okay.
And then you have to pay the VAT anyway but not collect the VAT. And one of the implications of that is that a lot of small subcontractors use the VAT for cash flow purposes. Yeah, so you bill VAT and then you pay it quarterly, so you live off the VAT until you have to pay the VAT bill. Well, that's all coming to an end in October. It's actually quite complex, and there's a lot of stupidity that goes into it, because you have to write invoices that show the VAT but not collect the VAT. So you therefore have to put something on the invoice that says, we've billed you this, but we haven't.
Slimy.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, they've introduced this. At the same time, they're making tax digital, so it's all got to be done online anyway. Anyway, so Oasis have got a free brunch to explain how it works. We're really excited to officially announce our reverse VAT crunch time brunch on Wednesday, the 4th of September, at the London Golf Club. The big concept behind the free event is to bring together those in the building and construction sectors who are worried about the implications of reverse charge VAT coming into effect in the construction industry on the 1st of October this year. Such a large and sudden change in legislation is bound to have an impact on things like cash flow and everyday accounting practices. So understandably, there'll be a lot of people in the industry who are panicked and unsure about how to move forward. That's why we'll be breaking down the big issues and concerns around the topic with experts in construction and software solutions. The event is free to attend and will include talks from industry specialists, a Q&A session, an interactive quiz, free brunch, and a great opportunity for business-to-business networking. If you want to find out more about it, there's a dirty great Eventbrite link, which I can't read out. So the best thing to do is to go to their website, which is oasis.co.uk. That's oasis.co.uk. That's oasis.co.uk.
Nice. Business Terrace supports Maidstone as business capital of Kent. I love this. Have you seen some of the photos? They are amazing. Mm-hmm. As part of its four-year anniversary of establishing the Business Terrace in Maidstone, the celebrations included heralding the county town as the business capital of Kent. So they go into this, established by Maidstone Borough Council in 2015. The Business Terrace was introduced to enable entrepreneurs in the borough to start businesses, grow and thrive. Since then, it's expanded three times to cope the demand for essential office space in the town, and now is recognised as a dynamic, innovative and hugely successful. So strategically located in central Kent, with excellent connectivity to London, regional and European markets, Maidstone is the business capital of Kent. Building on the success of the Business Terrace, the MBC has introduced plans to develop an innovation centre situated on the Kent Medical Campus, which will be for startup businesses in healthcare, medtech and life science sectors. This new facility is due to open in 2021 and will offer flexible serviced office accommodation combined with extensive on-site business support. So if you want to get hold of something like this and you want to contact them, so the Business Terrace is situated in King Street in Maidstone. And to go and find out more, you can go onto their website, which is www.businessinmaidstone.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Bird. Dime Weddings have been on, updating us.
Are you
us.
Really going to say this tweet?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Are you threatening me?
No, I'm not threatening you at all. I'm just going to see how you're going to deal with this.
This is the one where they've said, let me help you there. We're talking about...
Yeah, off you go.
Yeah, yeah.
May the force be with
you. It's DC Squirrel that's actually saying this. To make it clear, it's not what you do, Bird on a Bike, it's how you do it.
Thank you.
Yeah. It only takes some people 60 minutes to accomplish what others take 90 minutes.
He went there.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky he's going away on holiday, isn't he?
I think otherwise he's on holiday.
He's kicked back and, you know... giving it some stick, yeah. Okay. All right, Paul, well, good luck with that, mate.
Yeah, nice knowing you.
Yeah. Nice one. Right, we've still got tweets coming in, we've still got emails coming in, and we've got another fantastic guest that we want to talk to in a minute. I tell you what, I'm going to read you an email. Oh, yeah, don't forget this. Save the date. It's our annual Southeast Construction Exhibition is taking place this year, 2019, on Thursday, the 26th of September, at the South of England Events Centre in Ardingly. That's in Sussex. Book your place here, constructionexpouk.co.uk. On the same time, they also have the Construction Expo Southeast Awards. You can still enter those awards. The awards dinner is sponsored. The platinum sponsor is occupational health company All Health Matters. If you want to nominate a company or nominate yourself for an award in the construction Expo 2019, there's a website specifically for it, which is constructionexpoawards.co.uk.
You've won Best Stand there a couple of times, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They moved it to Ardingly last year for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic event. Do get along. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year. It's an interesting place as well, the event centre in Ardingly, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Nice one. Cool.
Can we have a business bunker shout out, please? Burden of Bike and Vanilla Web. We have two more careers fairs planned for Chatham and Folkestone. Folkestone? Right. So details are coming soon to find out the next local job on www.jobsinkent.com.
Right. Yeah, the one in Folkestone's not going to be at the Leedscliffe Hall. I'm just telling you that.
Why are you telling me that?
Just because I'm making a point.
To me?
No.
Ah.
It's not going to be at the Leedscliffe Hall. Just saying.
Hashtag.
Just saying. But we will be in
Folkestone. What about the Grand? Have you spoken to the people in
the
Grand?
We are most...
so good in the Grand.
We love the people in the Grand at Folkestone. So and it looks very much... We're still negotiating, but it looks very much like the event will take place at the Grand in Folkestone.
Right. I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah, go for it.
How do you negotiate?
I beg. Please. Oh, please.
Do you come from poor...
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. Oh, hell.
Do you not come from, do you know who I am?
Who am I?
Do you know what I mean, though?
That would never...
You know what I mean? I'm exaggerating, clearly.
That would never work.
But which stance do you come from for negotiation? Are you the power or are you the influencer? Are you the manipulator? What are you?
I'm the beggar. Oh, go on. Oh, please.
You know you want to.
Yeah, go on, help. Okay. Oh, go on, please. Yeah. No, the Grand have been fabulous. They've been really brilliant.
And who do you speak to when you negotiate?
Well, it's not always me that negotiates, to be frank, to be honest. Tracy's been negotiating this for me, Tracy Ferguson.
Do you go to the top, though?
Not necessarily. You kind of go to the person that makes the decision, really, which isn't always the chief executive, is it? You know, they normally got a marketing or banqueting manager that sorts out such things. Mm. They've been really good. Our other one at Chatham has been brilliant. I didn't have to negotiate that at all. We're holding it in the Pentagon Centre, in the shopping centre in Chatham.
Nice.
Yeah, sweet.
But not at the Leedscliffe Hall.
But not the Leedscliffe Hall. We're not going there. Oh, no. we haven't finalised dates yet, but they are going to be at September time. But we'll let you know when we're going to do them. Good. What else you got?
I've got loads. I've got Lunch and Learn with Orchard Employment Law and Hawk Safe. So this is Wednesday, the 18th of September. This is 12 till 2 in the afternoon at Aylesford K Sport Cobdown. Are you prepared for the changes in laws which will take place next year? Do you know how to conduct a risk assessment? This seminar will improve your knowledge of employment law and health and safety so that you can manage staff more confidently and effectively. So Orchard Law and Hawk Safe have joined together for Lunch and Learn event to help local businesses, owners, managers with their important topics. So you've got Gemma Fairclough-Haynes from Employment Law Specialist. She's a trainer and public speaker. Get ready for the changes in HR law. So 2020 changes in employment law legislation. What should be in an employment contract? And managing staff absences and performance. And then you've got Andy Haith, who's from Health and Safety Consultant, who's CITB accredited trainer. And he's going to talk about risk assessments. What are they and why do we need them? Well, there's another topic in itself. So just visit their Eventbrite Lunch and Learn Employment Law. And it's £32, which is great. 12 till 2.
I know Andy from HawkSafe. He's a great guy. And they're a great team, the HawkSafe team.
Mm. It's really interesting. I'm seeing more and more of this. And I was saying to you, we went to see Melinda Gates last week, and she was saying, yes, of course, they've got this. you know, amazing funding, but they also don't do anything in isolation. They only ever work in partnership with people, which I thought was a really interesting concept to take on board.
Yeah.
Did you see this gift from Tracy?
Which one?
The one on the bike.
Yes.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Brilliant gift, yeah. It says, Rwanda sounds like a great experience. Did you enjoy it? My brother raced in the Alps in Italy last year, and his answer to the question was, it actually destroyed him.
Yeah.
Did Bird overtake him then?
What, Stephen? Did I overtake Stephen?
No,
or did
her
I overtake
brother. Her brother.
Was it him on Sunday? If it was, I'm sorry. Could you imagine that poor bloke? The thing is, there's this platform called Strava, and I don't know if you know, it's an exercise platform if you want to look at it in itself.
Yep.
And you can do what we call Strava flybys. So he can go on his Strava and see who this mad woman was with her ego with wings flying by, and then friend me, and then or send me a message of hatred.
What you ought to do here, Bird, is you ought to get a skull and crossbones flag, you know, a Jolly Roger flag.
Yeah.
And you ought to fly that from the top of your bike. And then when you do it to people, they think they've just been pirated, wouldn't they?
Yes, yeah, good. That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, my lover, you've just been pirated. Yay! Walter Blake.
I can tell you now, I'm racing tonight, and I certainly won't be passing anybody. It's horrible. Hate it. Anyway, carry on.
Cool. You can do one more, and then we're going to talk to Neil.
Oh, we've got ZC Social Media, up-and-coming workshops, using Facebook marketing for business. Now, this is on the 13th of August, 9 till 12.30. Then you've got Mastering LinkedIn for Business, and that's on Wednesday, the 21st of August, 9 till 12.30. I can't go to that because it's on a Wednesday. And then you've got
Twitter. What happens on Wednesday?
It's my show, 1 till 2.
Have you got a show?
I've got Monica Jones.
She's got a show. I didn't know she had a show. You've got a show.
Well, I've got a show. And then we've got, do you know what? It's nearly three, it's just coming up for 3 years. I'm on show episode 137.
Wow.
Can you believe it? When you and I sat there 4 years ago going, do you know what? I want to start a podcast, Paul. What mic do you reckon I should use? I'm serious. That's how it all came about. Now look at me. Yeah. And we've got Twitter for Business, Thursday, the 22nd of August, 9 till 12.30. Now you need to go to www.zcsocialmedia.com.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I think we're going to talk to our next guest.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. It's useful having someone sensible.
Well, I want to see this competitive edge between the two of you.
There is no competitive edge. I'm not a competitive person.
We compliment one another.
We do, exactly. Yeah. But I'm not competitive anyway.
You're not an overachiever, are you?
No, no.
I'm called an overachiever.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything of that type?
Yeah,
Can I just say that?
I had an appraisal once in which my boss said I was an underachiever, and I just said, no, you're an overexpecter.
You're fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's your people.
He did ask me what my weaknesses were, and I went, are you going to write this on a form? And he went, yeah. I went, you need more paper. He went, what? I went, I can't speak Russian. And he went, so? I said, well, it's a weakness. I can't speak Russian. Or I can't do Mandarin, yeah? And I don't know nuclear physics. And he went, it's a bank. Stop being facetious. I went, I can't spell facetious. We didn't get on.
And there wasn't spell check back then, was there?
No, there wasn't.
No. That's not me being rude. I'm not being rude.
Do you know, facetious is one of only two words in the English language where the vowels all appear in order.
Wow. Good fact.
Yeah. Top fact, eh? Yeah, that shut everyone up. Hey.
Not good for radio, but it was brilliant.
If we knew how to spell it, we might be able to... Yeah.
Everybody's trying to work it out, but I can't spell it. So they go, yeah, no, you're right, Paul. Anyway, listen, it's a real privilege and pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Neil Simons of TN Recruit. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Paul.
It's a pleasure to see you, my friend. Why don't you kick off by telling people a little bit about TN Recruits and ME Recruits and tell us how that kind of works.
Yeah, sure. So I started TN Recruits just from my lounge a few years ago. So 4.5 years ago, it'll be 5 years in November.
Wow.
And it was just me. I came downstairs. I was in a full suit. And my wife said, what the hell are you doing? And I said, well, I have to feel like I'm going to work. Mm. And she said, no, not the suit, the slippers. What's that all about? So anyway, that's how it started. I lasted working at home for about 2 weeks before I had to get out. My wife works from home as well. And we just could not. We were like cat and dog. So And the kitchen was there, the temptation of the food and constant drinks and all that sort of
and
stuff.
And, of course,
was
she was doing more work than you, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does 100
minutes
more than you.
And actually, she was saying things, oh, but once the washing machine's finished, can you put that in it? And I was like, all right, I've got to get out. So so I got an office. I recruited my first member of staff, Jared, after 6 months, who quickly got up to speed. And we've recruited on average one person every 6 months or so. So there's 10 of us now.
Right.
And things are looking good. So
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Had you been working in the recruitment industry beforehand?
Yeah, I worked in recruitment. I've worked in recruitment now locally for the last sort of 13 years or so.
Right.
Life was good. I enjoyed recruitment, but I couldn't really see myself progressing where I was. And then in July 2014, the morbid bit, my dad passed away, and it gave me the kick up the backside that I needed just to make me think, right, I need to do something with my life, and launch the business November 2014. And it's been great. You know, TN Recruits was... Tunbridge Wells is my hometown, so we've got a lot of clients in Tunbridge Wells.
It's named after the postcode, effectively.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got a lot of local clients, local businesses that we support. We do office-based recruitment, so tends to be a lot of support vacancies within professional services, so financial services, law, accountancy, but we also do marketing, insurance, amongst other professions. Following the success of TN Recruits, years ago I worked at the Courier in advertising sales, and my first manager at the Courier, Helen Barham, was a really inspiration to me. And Helen actually was returning to work after a period off raising her children, and applied for a job with me, which I was really flattered by.
Right.
That was when we dreamed up the idea of Emmy Recruits to cover the Emmy postcode.
Right.
So now we've got a really good team in place. So TN Recruits is headed up by Ellie Snuggs, our branch manager, who does a wonderful job. And then Emmy Recruits headed up by Helen. Emmy Recruits has now been going for 18 months and going from strength to strength. Our method of recruitment is that we spread the net as wide as possible. We've got over 30 methods of finding candidates. We interview our candidates face-to-face, and we're seeing, on average amongst the team, we're seeing around about 29 candidates per week,
right.
Local candidates. So we've built up a healthy database of 5,000 local candidates. So it saves our clients lots of time.
A couple of things there, which kind of leap out at me straight away, and we'll cover both of them. But the second thing first was candidates. We're in a very tough market for skills. We have massive skill shortages. Is that something you find? I mean, obviously, you're generating candidates, quite rightly, but are you finding that something that's harder and harder?
I was having a conversation recently with my accountant, and he was explaining that he needed someone at mid-level, but he's gone out to not only us, but lots of different agencies and specialist accountancy agencies. And the shortage seems to be that sort of mid-level.
Yeah.
There's lots of junior candidates coming through, and there are lots of senior candidates.
Experience.
Yeah. So there's a couple of really simple solutions. I think there's a big market of part-time workers that is untapped.
Yep.
And actually, I've got 4 part-timers that work for me, and they do a fantastic job. Helen being one, Melissa, Kate, Gemma, and Emma. In fact, 5. So they do a fantastic job, and they do as much work in the part-time hours because they cram it all in.
That's because they do 100 more.
But they do. They work their socks off, and they really throw themselves into it.
And you're absolutely right. And one of the things that so many people don't realise now is that a lot of the issues with the world of work are around flexibility issues, flexibility of work, work-life balance, and the nature of people's families these days are different. And we have to be more flexible in the workforce. I do a program in schools called 30-30, where we take 30 businesses into a school and we talk to A-level students about the world of work. And one of the things we talk about quite a lot is this flexible approach to work. Generation Z those people born after the year 2000, if you want to feel old, have just entered the workforce. Basically, they want to work in a flexible way. The old style 9-to-5 just doesn't compute.
No.
Yeah, you know, they have technology that works 24 hours a day. You know, they get emails in the middle of the. I get emails in the middle of the night. Yeah, you can't just silo things anymore into 9-to-5. So this whole approach to flexibility, part time working, 0 hour contracts, whatever you want to call it, it's all about flexible working and building a work kind of balance that suits you and suits your employer, obviously. Yeah,
I think one of the other challenges that that businesses have in general is a lack of. In my opinion, a lack of training or the want to train younger or newer members of staff and bring them up to speed and give them the skills that they do need. Mm. They want to bring on the finished article.
Yeah.
They want to bring on what they've just lost. They'll write a job description that's based on the person that's leaving. Well, why is that person leaving? Because it's probably not quite enough for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting someone in who was maybe that person before, 3 or 4 years ago, is maybe where it's at, and give them the support, the training, the management that they need.
You're absolutely right. You absolutely nailed it, and it's one of the things that causes me a lot of ranting, is that a lot of the skill shortage we have are caused because we haven't invested in training people in the past. Construction, for instance, has been heavily hit. There's 840,000 unfilled jobs in the UK at the moment. 37% of those jobs are in construction. The problem that the construction industry has is they want experience, but for the last 20 or 30 years, they've relied on importing workers from overseas to work in construction. Now they've stopped coming. There's no one to take their place. And because they haven't been training anyone, there isn't anyone with the skills. Yet they find it really hard to bring apprentices in when they're desperate to build a house, not to train someone. But that's just a failure of not having trained over the years. And it's not just construction. It's almost every industry.
Absolutely. I think, I've got a client of mine in the print sector who are looking for a print salesperson. Richard, you may even be able to support on this, but he was saying that there's a shortage of experienced print salespeople, but that's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
So, but the challenge that he's got is that as prints become less and less, there's less new, younger salespeople coming through.
Mm.
So the experienced salespeople are now either at retirement age or looking to retire very soon, and it's not something that... It's definitely gives that shortage of strong salespeople with the knowledge, with the knowledge of the print sector. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about that, Richard.
Yeah, no, it's correct, Neil. Our industry has changed over the years, and there is a certain skill set. You know, print was very union based in the past. You know, the big printers, and it was a skill, and you had your role, and you competed, and you did that role. Even pre-press as well, so the studio managers, they're putting together and they've got skills that have gone before them. But if you're doing a marketing degree more recently now, it's ingrained, oh, we're going to go into online media, social media. And the print industry is definitely suffering from a lack of skills in between, like you say, in the middle market. Totally agree with that. But you keep them.
We still have an issue in this country. In terms of sales, specifically sales and business development as a career option, it's something that nobody ever wants to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we just avoid sales like the plague. In the US, you can get a degree in sales, not marketing, in sales. Mm. You get a degree in sales. Here, we just walk away from it and go, "Ooh, sales, ooh, no thank you." But it's one of the most important things you can do. There's always work in sales because it's self-fulfilling, but we don't encourage people to work in sales and business development. We just don't.
See, this is another challenge that we find in recruitment, and you'll know this as well, Paul. But when a client is looking for an experienced telesalesperson, there's no such thing. Guess what? People don't want to do telesales for a whole career. You do telesales for a period of your career, and then you go into something else. You might become a telesales manager. You might go into field sales, account management, yeah. or if you're really unlucky, you'll go into recruitment like me.
But you don't stay in telesales.
No, that's
you
know. It. Not for a long period of time. Yeah. You know, we do it as part of our job,
yeah.
and actually, it's enjoyable as part of a job. But if it's your whole job, 9 to 5:30, yeah. I mean, what's your reaction if you get a cold call?
Yeah.
What would you say to a cold caller there, Bird?
Well, I find it really interesting when somebody ever rings me anyway. You just think you're taking up my time. We've talked about this before. You find it invasive, actually, to get a phone call. What I was going to say to you is it then not our role to teach the employer that actually this isn't a job that's needed? It's something that you need to integrate and to train in-house. So you could have that as part of that. Mm. So actually the employer is looking for a job that doesn't exist anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, no, agreed. And going back to the print company and any other company who says, oh, there's a skills shortage. Well, why not train them? Why not train them in-house?
Hmm.
You know, I've got I know trainers, and what we do as a bit of a difference at TN Recruits is I've got a really wide network of other suppliers in HR, training, coaching, and we'll supply those people. We'll put those contacts in place with our clients.
Hmm.
But guess what? It might cost a little bit extra.
Sure.
But if you get the right skills, then surely it's worth an outlay of an additional cost.
Are people still looking at skills over the person that they can train? So, you know, we're seeing a big shift. You hear of Gary Vaynerchuk talking about all he ever employs are people who he absolutely loves as a personality, who he knows he can train to do the job that he wants them to do.
Mm.
Surely that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that takes the words out of our mouths, and certainly is one of the things that we're passionate about, is looking at the transferable skills and the cultural fit, and then you can train the rest.
Exactly. Mm.
You can train someone how to pick up the phone and say some stuff over the phone, but you can't teach them to be warm and friendly and have good emotional intelligence.
Do you remember when we went to the university summit, the business summit, wasn't it, in January? Mm. And one of the biggest things that a couple of the companies were saying is that they were saying, we're getting students from, so a big complaint, we're getting students who have got these great academic qualifications, but you aren't teaching them how to transfer into the workplace.
Mm.
And the university, and I love this, turned around and said to them, that's not our job.
Mm.
That's your job to train the people. We'll get them up to a level of education, of academia, of how to transfer those skills. Mm. But actually, that's your job to get this new person and train them into the position you want them to uphold.
Yeah.
The employer was not happy.
Yeah, but
I get that. But then you've got, going back to Paul's point earlier, sales should form part of a university degree.
Mm.
You know, if you take a degree in business studies, business management, you might cover HR, finance, accountancy, and marketing, and different modules that are going to be relevant to business, but sales isn't one of those modules.
It's
kind of like a taboo subject.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, we don't want to sell. Mm. We don't want to sell. We're British.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
It's crazy. Bird's point is correct, and not in two ways. And I have this argument quite a lot. Educational establishment make a category error. They think they're training skills, and they're not. They're training qualifications. There's a complete difference. And they're great at putting things out like saying, you know, well, would you use so-and-so if you had brain surgery? No, but neither would I use a recently qualified brain surgeon.
No.
Yeah? I'd want someone that had been doing it for a few years and knew what they were doing, not someone straight out of medical school. So they're not training skills, they're training qualifications. Skills come when you take the qualification and apply it in the real world and develop some experience off the back of it. But I fully support what Neil was saying or implying earlier, that we don't... One of the things we see with Jobs in Kent, with the amount of job adverts we get, is how so many organisations are lazy about their job adverts. They just put down things that they saw somewhere else, or they go, we're looking for so-and-so, and they just give you a description of the person that just left the job. Yeah. They don't think about what they might want. They don't think about having to attract people into the job. Mm. You know, they'll go, I've had ones that go, right, we want a first from Oxford, and we want 12 years experience of this, and we're going to pay 15K. And you go, having a laugh.
Yeah.
What, in what way have you tried to attract anyone to work for your company? Yeah. What have you offered them? Nothing. But more than that, it's not just about offering them something. It's about understanding that we are in a world where we have skill shortages and experience shortages. And unless you address that, you're not going to – there's only one way you can get over it if you're going to carry on doing what you're doing, and that's to pay more than somebody else. And people aren't prepared to do that.
I think the whole attraction, there's lots of people who, when they're interviewing a candidate, they'll still be very old school about it. And they'll think, right, come on in, impress me. But actually, it's our responsibility as business owners to actually pitch. And I had a meeting with a client just last week. And they were saying, look, everyone keeps dropping out of our interview process. Why is that? And I said to him, how are you pitching your business? And I was met with complete silence. And he said, oh, that's a good point. And I said, what do you do? And he said, well, we have competitions on a weekly basis. People can earn a bottle of wine. On a monthly basis, they can earn cinema vouchers. And I was saying, this is fantastic. We didn't know this. So you need to be telling us this so we can put it into adverts and to our pitch to your candidates. And then you reiterate it when you're interviewing. And if at the end of the interview you're really, really not keen on that person, you've still got the opportunity to say no.
Yeah.
But actually, if you don't sell your opportunity, they're not going to want to come and work for you, whatever happens.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And also, people just don't want big pay. You know, it's not just about that. They want the flexibility. They want to know that, will you still respect, you know, honour me, love me, appreciate me, even if I've got to go to the dentist or I've got to do this? They want flexibility. They want the medical insurance. They want to be able to get an MRI on my shoulder because I've just fallen off my, you know, all those little things make such a big difference to people.
We do speed networking at the 30-30 events with the students and the employers, and there was a middle-aged old school business owner there interviewing a young lad who was pretty switched on and pretty bright, and I overheard part of the conversation. And the young lad went, yeah, so what is that? He went, right, so what we do is you work 9 to 5, and he went, then we stop you there. He went, I don't get up till 10. And the guy went, no, we work 9 to 5. And he went, no, not me. I don't get up till 10. I can be in round about 11. And the guy was flabbergasted.
Right, there is still a level of responsibility for the candidates to pitch themselves as well.
Yeah.
But is it, though? Yeah. Isn't he right? Isn't he, in this day and age, and this is what we're saying, we say this all the time, the workplace may be saying to everybody, I'm flexible, but the people don't want to be flexible in the workplace either, so it works. And that guy, he could probably be one of your greatest employees because you're giving him that, look, come in at 11, but I want you to be ridiculously super efficient. So doing, you know, those 90 minutes in 60 minutes, you don't know, do you?
I can tell you loads of stories about this because it, and this is where I agree 110% with Neil. It's about thinking through what you're doing on both sides of the equation and trying to build a balance of what's going on. I do a lot of work with the Kent Supported Employment Group, who's part of Kent County Council, and their task is to get people with supported needs into work. And we did a big event earlier in the year for people with autism, Asperger's and various mental health issues. And what we had a number of employers that had hired people with those kind of issues, and we also had some of the people that they'd employed to do a talk on how it had worked for them. And it was fascinating to see the talent that was available and the skills that were available within that supported needs community, but how you needed to manage that effectively. And there was a young lad called Chris, and he did a talk, and he went, I do hedges. And everybody looked at me, yeah, hedges. I don't do cutting grass. He went, I don't do that. I do hedges. He said, and I'm good at hedges. And his boss came on. He worked for, I think it was Solomon's Estate or someone like that, yeah? And he worked in the landscaping department. And the guy that ran the whole thing came on and went, he does hedges. Let me show you a video of the hedges he does, where he cut and topiaed these hedges. Absolutely brilliant. He went, he doesn't do anything but hedges, but look at the hedges, yeah? And it was that degree of yeah, okay, this sounds a bit weird, but when you look at what he actually does, why would you want him to do anything else? Yeah. And it's managing people from that point of view. It's managing expectations, but it's also putting together talents and abilities in a place that works. And one of the other things that you said, Neil, that really struck a chord with me is the whole ethos behind TN and ME recruitment is this local approach. And I love that more than anything else, because despite appearances, the vast majority of people work locally to where they live. Even Kent, which is a commuter county, 400,000 people in Kent work in London. The rest of the population work locally in Kent. Yeah. And we do work locally, and that is a thing, and it's a big thing. And I love the fact that you've kind of focused your business around that as a concept, because I think that's really good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and, you know, we do have people ask us all the time, so what is your specialism? And I'll always say it's the location. Mm. You know, we've got a database of 5,000 local candidates, which really, really makes it a fast process. We can normally offer some kind of solution quite quickly to meet our clients' needs. And it does kind of complement what we were talking about earlier off air, Paul, and the reason why you started Jobs in Kent. But, it really is. I'm passionate about Tunbridge Wells, Tunbridge Seven Oaks, the surrounding areas, Crowborough, Uckfield, Heathfield. Got to get that in, because otherwise Oscar will kill me. And then the ME side of things with Jordan and Helen. You know, the focus on Kings Hill, Maidstone, the Medway towns, and trying to retain people and get them working locally. Working very closely with the Times of Tunbridge Wells at the moment, who are going to be writing a piece shortly to try and encourage people to work more locally.
Well, West Kent has a particular problem because of its proximity to London.
Yeah,
you know,
Sevenoaks in particular.
Sevenoaks in particular is like 15 minutes to Cannon Street on the train. You know, it's just a no-brainer. So trying to keep people working locally is hellishly difficult because you're competing with London salaries.
Absolutely. I mean, Tunbridge Wells is a little bit different. You know, when I look at Tunbridge Wells to sort of Charing Cross, you've then maybe got to get a tube.
Yeah.
And my argument is always that it could take you an hour and a half to get to work. That's 3 hours a day. That's 15 hours a week.
Yeah.
So 120 hours a... how's my maths doing? Yeah, 120 hours a month of travelling.
Yeah.
What could you be doing with those 120 hours?
Not only that, the cost of commuting is huge. Mm. And not only that, the cost of a sandwich in London is about 10 times the cost of a sandwich in Tunbridge Wells. Yeah,
but, you know, what price would you put on 120 hours of time?
Yeah.
How much would you pay for 120 hours extra of social time each month?
I just wouldn't engage in it.
Yeah,
I just find it crazy.
Yeah.
We're all talking about AI. You can't even sort out your time. Why even think about AI? There's no point looking at the future. You can't deal with where you are at this minute.
It's another one of those failings where some people don't take into account the whole thing. You know, they look at a job and they look at the salary and they go, wow, look at that. Mm. They don't think about the ramifications of that.
Yeah.
You know, they go, we're looking for a bookkeeper and we're paying $48,000 a year. And you go, Jesus, I can only get 20-odd in Kent. Oh, I'm going to go for that. And then they don't realise that they're working from like 5 in the morning till 9 at night if the trains are running okay. And it's costing them $7,000 a year for a train ticket.
Yeah.
And then the cost of lunch in London and all the rest of it that goes with it. You know, there are pros and cons to all these kind of things. My youngest son works in London. He lives in London. He lives in Brixton. He wouldn't go anywhere else. You know, he's 24. You know, it's party time. He works in sales as well.
Yeah.
It's party time, and therefore you understand that. But, the day he has a family will be the day where he goes, hold on a minute, I'm not doing this anymore.
I'm going to work local.
Yeah. We had a candidate recently that we placed, and he took a significant pay cut of around about $20,000 a year. But a month later, what we do is a bit of aftercare. We'll stay in touch with candidates, give them a call, see how they're getting on. And a month later, he said, you know what, Neil? He said, it's the best decision ever. He said, I now get to put my kids to bed. And it was the biggest reward that he said he could have got. There's definitely merit in working locally. You know, TM Recruits can make that happen. ME Recruits can make that happen in Maidstone.
Fantastic.
Neil, what are people to do on their CVs now? We're all talking about CVs and are they relevant? And give us some practicalities of how we come to you to get you your attention. Because that's what a CV is, isn't it?
Okay,
or an interview.
The big one for me is that people have got to have key achievements on their CV. And I would say two or three key achievements for each job that they've done. Now, if you were looking at two CVs, let's say I have a retail assistant and both CVs said they have been in customer service, they've been handling cash and doing some merchandise. Both CVs say that. The second CV says they've been mystery shop five times and they've scored 100% every time. And they've also won employee of the month five times a month out of the last six. Which one would you interview?
Yeah.
So key achievements have got to be there. And also we advise our candidates and actually once we've interviewed our candidates, we will add a career objective to what they're looking to get into. And it should be reflective of the role that they're applying for.
Yeah.
So those would be two top tips that I would give with CVs.
Yeah, yeah.
And also try and avoid the waffle and the cliches. You know,
I'm a team member.
I'm a great team player, and I can also work on my own. Fantastic, wonderful.
Yeah, we're laughing because we've all used it. That's why.
The last 20 CVs that I read said, and also hobbies and interests. I've got one client in particular, and it's the first part of the interview, CV he'll look at, hobbies and interests, because it's important for him to know a little bit about that person and know whether they're going to be a cultural fit for them.
Do you check their social media?
Yes.
Yeah.
And to.
I want our young generation Z to listen to that.
Yeah.
Because what they're posting needs to be mindful
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. You know, we had a candidate a couple of years ago and we luckily checked his social media, knowing that our client would have done. And he was, he was flicking the bird. And by that, I don't mean you.
No.
I mean, he had his fingers up in his profile picture. Fortunately, we managed to catch that
and take it off.
But. Yeah, absolutely. Check the posts that you've been putting, any comments that you've made, whether it's now, whether it's in the last 10 years. You know, let's get more.
If you're gonna do a personal social media account, lock it is the thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lock it down and keep it amongst the people that you want to keep it amongst, and have a professional profile. Coming back to the CV thing, one of the things that I talk to a lot of young people about in their CVs, instead of the personal statement of, you know, exactly as you said, Neil, you know, I'm a great team player, but capable of working on my own. What I want to see there is why your skills fit the employer that you've applied for a job for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What have you got to offer that employer?
Yeah.
Not necessarily an experience, because it could be in, you know, I'm a hard worker, or you know, I'm keen to develop my skills in sales or whatever. Mm. It doesn't have to be based on experience, but it has to be based on how does my skills fit your job, and how does your job fit my skills, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just about what's in it for me in the next job; it's what's in it for you if you take me on.
Yeah.
You know, the CV should be a document that gets you in front of the client.
Yeah.
You know, we try and cut the CVs where possible and encourage our clients to trust us. And the clients that we have the best relationships with and actually the best success with are the ones that trust us with. I mentioned earlier, we've got seven interviews happening with an insurance client today. And we've said, just give us the interview slots. We'll get the people in front of you.
Mm.
And all too often, companies are a bit overcritical of CVs and reading a bit too much into it. In terms of, we had someone previously that was into football, and as a result of that, we don't want to interview anyone like that again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because that
it's too subjective, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I know someone very well who's a top recruiter, headhunter, and she has a relationship with her clients where she doesn't need to send a CV. Mm. She'll just ring up and say, you really ought to speak to Richard. He's the right man for you.
Yeah.
And they will take her word because she's got a track record with them of getting that right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Fortunately, absolutely.
we've managed to find a few companies locally that like us and trust us enough to do that.
Yeah, and that's testament to the quality of the work you do.
Yeah, you.
Absolutely. You know, and that's where we need to be. Cool. Listen, we could talk about this forever, Neil, but we've sadly run out of time, would you believe? If people want to find out more about TN Recruitment and ME Recruitment, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, sure. So you can email me, neil@tnrecruits.com. tmrecruits.com, or you can check out our websites, tmrecruits.com or merecruits.com.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website to those websites as well, and that will be there forever. Neil, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to meet you, pleasure to hear from you, and keep on keeping on, and we really love what you're doing. Thank you for that. We're almost at the end of the show. You can, if you've got anything that you need to read out, you can do it.
No.
No? Right, I've got one thing that I need to read out. One thing. I'll get killed if I don't read this out. It's the Tech Expo, and it's taking place on Thursday, the 26th of September, 9 till 4, at the Kent Event Centre in Detlin. It's a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them run, build and grow their business more effectively. They've got a range of speakers. There's Brian Sutton from Microsoft, how Microsoft is developing to help businesses. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence, on cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, who's the CEO of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth, who's a lawyer specialising in IP and digital law. And as a slight twist at a technical conference, they got a speaker from, a speaker from Dale Carnegie talking about being human in a digital world. There's also workshops taking place. Aaron Taylor of 6-2 Technology, Mike Hacker of Prisma Broadcast, and the lovely Zoe Cairns are all doing workshops on various expert aspects of technology and content. So loads of roundtables, loads of panel discussions, loads of networking meetups, much, much more. If you want to find out all about it, if you go to www.techexpo.uk.com and check it out. But we have reached the end of the show. It just leaves me to tell you to join Amanda for this week's Business Bunker Extra show on Friday at 11 o'clock. And this week, Amanda's co-host is Richard Bell, and their guests are the two talented ladies from the Two of Harps.
Oh, they're really good, aren't they?
Yeah, fantastic. So join them on the Business Bunker Extra show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk, 11 a.m. Friday, Business Bunker Extra, Amanda and Richard. But that's all from the Business Bunker show here on Tuesdays. A huge thank you to my co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike.
Thank you.
And to my two fantastic guests, Mr. Richard Archer and Mr. Neil Simons. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much for being with us.
And we'll see you all next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody, and see you soon.
Bye.
Cheers.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.